Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 47, and I hope everybody enjoyed the long weekend, if you will, the long holiday weekend. And Dave, a weekend without Steeler football, there are not many of those during the course of the season. So how did you spend your time?
Yeah, pretty much in front of the TV, David. There was a lot of great games this weekend. You know, not only the NFL, but college had the Michigan-Ohio State game was pretty enthralling there on Saturday. And then, yeah, it was nice to kind of sit back on a Sunday. And, you know, there were several key games that I think Steeler fans, probably had their eyes on, most notably the game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. And then, boy, what a way to end things up Sunday night there with that game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. Started off as a defensive struggle and it kind of morphed into a little something else. And what a great, probably one of the better games, if not the best game that we'll see this season.
It was. And for two quarterbacks who have been who have really good records and probably take probably a little bit more heat than they deserve. They both played great down the stretch. Alex Smith converting a fourth down and then a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Simeon was very good. Of course, the big touchdown pass late for them. And then, tactics. We can get into tactics with all that stuff, and we'll get into that later in the show. Yeah, I didn't – I got to say, Dave, just a chance to not be in front of the TV all weekend. I saw the first game of the weekend, just about all of it, in Ohio State, Michigan, and I saw the last game of the weekend. So I got two great football games. I didn't get a ton in between, but certainly nice to have a little bit of time and you know, for me not to have 10 hours wrapped up in one game and get to do a couple other things. But on to Giants week, and of course the Giants get a win over the Browns on Sunday. And Dave, you look at where things stand in the AFC, and it started to clarify for sure. I mean, the Bengals are now out of it. The Browns are obviously out of it. So the AFC North is down to two teams. You look at the schedule. The schedule certainly is advantage Steelers when you look at the direct situation. So when you think about the Steelers playoff picture, certainly the AFC will get more bunched. I mean, the Dolphins have a tough schedule. And the great thing is the Dolphins play the Ravens right now. And if you were thinking about kind of the two teams that impact the Steelers, the wild card is going to be tough for the Steelers to get to, but if there are two teams, it's those two teams. So you assume one of them is going to lose this weekend, so there'll be a benefit to that. And because the AFC West is very difficult and they all play each other, you know, they could knock each other off enough times to knock one of these teams out. It would have been great had Carolina, you know, held on to win that game yesterday, but now it looks like we have a pretty good sense, not perfect, but a pretty good sense of the two bye teams will be New England and Oakland getting the byes, and then the other four teams, we'll see how things spread out. But obviously, if the Steelers were to win the division, they will be home either January 8th or January 7th or 8th, Saturday or Sunday, hosting a wild card game. And then they would potentially, now, you know, if you get the 3 seed, which they could certainly do, having beaten the Colts in the head-to-head for the South, they could be the 3 seed and go to Oakland. Or if they're the 4th, well, assuming Oakland's number 2, which is no guarantee, but then, you know, could also play the Patriots. So that's at least a quick snapshot. I'm sure you have a couple things to add to that.
Yeah, and the age-old saying goes, look, I mean, I think heading into this weekend anyway, most Steelers fans were resigned to the fact that it's AFC North crown or bust, and that very well is likely to play out that way. However, you know, stranger things have happened, right? I mean, I think you kind of hit on it. The biggest thing there, look, do I expect Miami to hang around and finish with 10 wins? I mean, it's definitely possible, but you know, I would be willing to bet that they probably go what 2-3 during their final five games here. So that would obviously put them on the outside looking in, and then you still have these AFC West teams, Kansas City, Denver, and San Diego, and Oakland. Boy, you know, the key games that those four teams will play against each other. You know, what if they split all of them? And then, you know, you even look at Kansas City. I think Kansas City might have the roughest schedule of the bunch there. Anything can happen. So I still think, boy, we're in for a treat here during these final 5 weeks. And Christmas ought to be absolutely spectacular because, I mean, it's really looking like it's going to come down to that game between Pittsburgh and Baltimore on Christmas to you know, probably decide who wins the North. And 9-7 still might get that done at this point. The Steelers, I think, obviously because of the fact that Baltimore, I believe, is now what, 4-0 in division? Is that right? Baltimore is.
Yeah, they beat the Bengals twice. They beat Cleveland. They beat Pittsburgh.
Right. So, you know, Pittsburgh needs to run the table as far as their division schedule goes. And, boy, it sure would be nice to get a win at home against the Giants this coming Sunday. And then that would leave games against the Bills and then, of course, in division left there. So they absolutely, what, three of these five games are going to be at home, starting with the Giants on Sunday here. So a perfect opportunity with the Steelers coming off of a mini bye, so to speak, to really get a lot of extra preparation time for the Giants. You know, this by no means is a must-win game for the Steelers, but it's probably as close to a must-win as you can probably get.
Yeah, let me correct that. The Ravens are 5-0 in the division. They have played the Browns twice already. They had that close game early in the season where they were down 20-0, and they came back and won, I think, 27-22 or something like that. And then obviously they beat the Bengals and have beaten they're 4-0. They beaten the Browns twice and not the Bengals twice. So they've got games left. So the Ravens schedule the rest of the way is Miami at home. And as I say, somebody's going to lose that game. Then they go to New England. Again, somebody's going to lose the game, so there's a benefit there. But if you assume that the Patriots win that game, if the Steelers could beat the Giants, you know, they're in a good situation. Then they're home against the Eagles. Again, the Eagles have a massive game tonight. They're really battling for, you know, the loser of tonight's game is in real trouble. The Packers lose, they're pretty much done. The Eagles lose, they're way behind the eight ball because they've got three teams ahead of them in their division with five games left. So a really big game tonight in terms of the impact of how that matters down the road. Then at the Steelers, at the Bengals, and the only thing about that last Bengals game is A.J. Green, you know, we'll see if he's back or not. If he's back for the Steelers, obviously he'll be back for the Bengals. And if he's not, you know, maybe he plays the last game, maybe he doesn't. But that is not – they don't have a team with a losing record on their schedule the last 5 weeks of the season. So
yeah,
it's advantage Steelers.
Yeah, the thing is, too, if we're sitting here in a couple more weeks having to do all this math that goes along with potential wild card, you have to wonder what kind of team, if such a team can make a run anyway. Look, I mean, we all have, or I think several of us have our doubts about this team. Yes, they have, the defense has had, you know, especially the red zone defense has played well in these last two games. They've beaten teams that they should have beaten. This will be a good test this weekend against the Giants. You know, is there enough time? You know, you're 5 weeks with all this youth now being, you know, infused tremendously into the defense. Is there enough time for this defense to morph into a defense that can make a run? You know, I mean, I think we all went into this thing anyway thinking that, boy, the Steelers, you know, playoff and Super Bowl chances are going to hinge a lot on their offense. But how, you know, at this point with five games remaining, and now that you have guys like Sean Davis, Artie Burns, Javon Hargrave playing a significant amount of snaps, you got a guy like Bud Dupree back who played 20 snaps in this game against the Colts. how different of a defense can this Steelers team have heading into the playoffs, and will it be enough to help maybe carry the offense should they have a down game, not only at the end of the season here, but in the playoffs as well too. So very intriguing, and hopefully we're not here a few more weeks saying, well, if this team loses and this team loses and this team loses and the Steelers win, well, maybe they can get a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the defense, look, I think you assume young guys make progress, and Bud Dupree could be a difference maker here for this defense. And we've always seen now that Keith Butler has opened up, ever since the Ravens game the last 5 weeks, they've played a different style of defense. So they've been much more aggressive. I think that suits them better. Now the key is to not be giving up the big plays, and the Colts left some stuff on the table for sure, no doubts about that. They've played three, marginal quarterbacks and two good quarterbacks, and the good quarterbacks have kind of carved them up. So we're gonna. I think this week will be very indicative of kind of where they are. And Eli Manning, this Giants offense hasn't been as good as advertised. Maybe in some degree, like the Steelers offense, they don't have a great run game. But they've got the Colts receiving corps, again, I'll point out, is really good. And the Giants is, probably it's equal, if not better. Maybe not the depth that the Colts have, but, Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the, obviously one of the best in the game. And then Shepard and Victor Cruz. So they've got weapons. So this will be a really good challenge. And then Buffalo poses a different challenge as one of the best running teams in the game. So the Giants aren't going to be able to run the ball. They're going to have to win by throwing the ball. The Bills will certainly try to run the ball on the Steelers 2 weeks from now. So, like I thought it would be these three games that define the Steelers. Certainly things were a little bit different without Andrew Luck, so I'm not really ready to kind of give them too many award points. The win matters. The win's significant. The offense showed really great signs of life in the first half in particular. So jury's still out on this team. Jury's definitely out on this team. And just as a point of reference, Seattle went across the country and lost to Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is a their defense doesn't scare anybody. And Seattle couldn't do a thing offensively. I think they had one of their 13 possessions resulted in a field goal. That was it. They punted it 9 times, turned it over a couple times. So it happens in the NFL. And for the Steelers, what I think the reason it was so disconcerting is, more or less it happened 4 weeks in a row. Maybe throw out the New England game, but 3 weeks in a row, against teams that you expect to beat. But now all of a sudden, like Kansas City last year, they beat the Steelers and they win 10 in a row and then win a playoff game. The Dolphins have beat the Steelers, have won 6 in a row. They're probably a better team, now that they got healthy than people gave them credit for. We see the Eagles, even though they had a rookie quarterback, have as good a defense as there is in the NFL. And this is not making excuses for the Steelers. It's just talking about reality. And I tweeted last night, Dave, the 5 teams that have beaten the Steelers are 37-17. That's a .685 winning percentage. That is exactly Peyton Manning's career winning percentage, regular season and playoffs. So, do with that whatever you want to do with that. That's not to say anything that we thought at the time the Steelers played the games isn't still true. But it's a football team that's growing as well. And to me, Dave, the biggest concern with this team now is, can they find another viable second receiver? Because if they can do that, I think they have a defense that certainly passes as league average. It's not the worst in the league, certainly obviously not the best. But if they can find a second receiver, then they can have an offense that's dynamite to go with an average defense.
Yeah, can Ladarius Green be kind of, and I would phrase it more as a third receiver, because your top two are going to be Brown and Le'Veon Bell moving forward. And can Ladarius Green kind of be the middle of the field guy along? It's surprising that Eli Rogers hasn't been targeted more than what he has been. Now, will that change in the final 5 weeks? We'll see. More than anything, and I've been stressing this for a while now, Sammy Coates has got to get healthy. I think he's really going to be a key here to what this offense can and can't do moving forward. Explosive plays are such a huge part of football games. Yes, Antonio Brown can deliver you those explosive plays, but I'm talking vertical, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field. We know Sammy Coates can deliver those because he delivered those in the first five games, five of them more than 40 yards. They really need to find a way to get him back on track. It's nice to see a guy like Ladarius Green deliver what he delivered, and hopefully there's, you know, one or two explosive plays out of him maybe moving forward. And as we mentioned, Eli Rogers, and who knows when they're going to get Darius Hayward Bay back. Not that Darius Hayward Bay really, you know, makes you feel overly good, but I mean, he is still a guy that presents a challenge to opposing defenses that they must respect for the fact that he can take the top off of coverage, unlike a guy, say, like Kobe Hamilton, that kind of player there. Here, you know, we're talking about stats here, David, and it's been a while since I've addressed the adjusted net yards per passing attempt stat, defensively speaking, that you know, I always like to quote. Now that the Steelers and the Patriots have played 11 games, the Steelers adjust, you know, ANY, you know, slash A, adjusted net yards per passing attempt, their defensive number, the Steelers, is 6.5. Now remember that just a few weeks ago, this thing was 7.5, right around that mark. The New England Patriots now have a higher defensive adjusted net yards per passing attempt number than the Steelers. They have a 6.6 number. The Dallas Cowboys, 7.2. Now, history tells you that's you know, anything over, like, I forget what the number is, 6.2 or something like that, you can probably forget about winning a Super Bowl. But here you have a team like the Cowboys, a 7.2, which I think is something like sixth worst in the NFL. Now, is that a result of the, you know, the offense being ahead in games? You remember how Mike Tomlin defended defended what was it last year about the passing yards allowed, and how ahead in games and giving up a lot of late passing yards that way. Whatever the case, that, you know, some of these teams have extremely high, you know, numbers when it comes to this statistical category, and it'll be, you know, look, the Steelers are going to play a team on Sunday in the Giants that have one of the lowest adjusted net yards per passing attempt number. The Giants will enter this game with the fourth ranked, you know, defensive stat in this area here. They have struggled at times getting sacks this year. I think they have, what, like 25 on the season, with a few of those coming in the last several weeks, almost like the Steelers. You know, the Giants were a team struggling to get sacks, and then all of a sudden they come in bunches there. So is this going to be the best offense that the Steelers will face the remainder of the season?
Yeah, depending on what Sammy Watkins brings to the Bills. The Bills have a really good running game. It's not Baltimore, it's not Cleveland and Cincinnati without the guys that they've lost. So, yeah, it has the potential to be the best offense. It hasn't been. I think that they look at, you know, look, they got a really good record, which stands out. There's no two ways about that. You are what your record says you are. But I don't feel like the Giants are a dangerous football team. I don't even feel like they're a great football team. Again, although they're 8-3, I think this is a team the Steelers should beat at home. So we'll see. I've never been a huge Eli Manning fan, but look, they're playing good football right now. They're playing good enough football, and that's what matters.
What do you think the Steelers team does in these final five games?
I think if they win this week, they run the table.
Wow, you think it all?
I mean, I don't think that's a huge statement. If they win this week, you got to win at Buffalo. You get the Bengals. You got the Bengals on a beat up Bengals team on the road. And you get the Cleveland and the Ravens at home. Like I said, you know, 2 weeks ago, they'll be favored in all these games. So, if they get by the Giants, I think they'll run the table. I think the most difficult game is then. I think the most difficult games are in sequence here.
If let's suppose they do run the table here, or let's suppose that they're that they go 4-1 in the final five, but they do win all of their division games. In other words, they lose either the game game against the Giants or the Bills. That, you know, 10-6 should get them in the playoffs, we think.
Yeah, they'll be the 3 seed.
Okay. What does this say about the coaching job that the entire staff will have done?
Well, I don't want to draw conclusions from a hypothetical, so, you know, whatever. It means they went 6-2 again in the second half of the season. People panic at 4-4. I get it, and it's you know, when you lose four games in a row, there's generally, you know, 4-5. They were actually there are reasons for that. So, but you know, let's wait till they get there to draw conclusions from it.
I mean, but it would be quite impressive, right? I mean, consider where this team was.
Sure, if you win, you know, if you win, if you go 6-1 down the stretch, that's impressive. Their schedule was front-loaded with good teams. People didn't expect Dallas to be this good. You know, you had the Patriots in the front half. This whole point I made at 4-5 was the Ravens had played the Browns twice, the Steelers had played them zero times. What if you flipped that and the Steelers were 7-3, or you were, sorry, it'd be 6-4 because they played the Browns twice. So some of it's the schedule. They went from the hardest schedule to the easiest schedule. Like I said, I mean, you know, let's see what happens before we say they had the coaching staff did a great job.
All right, where to from here? What did you think about the game between the Bengals and the Ravens?
You did mention Carlos Williams, so you have a post up. The Steelers did make a roster move this morning, signing a running back. So, you know, Carlos Williams really screwed up here, getting a second opportunity and maybe a chance to be the second running back for the Steelers next year, the backup running back. Who knows, you know, what happens with D'Angelo Williams, Le'Veon Bell. His brother's on the team. You know, it would seem to have been a perfect fit. Now, I don't know, Dave, if it's possible that he failed this test before he signed with the Steelers and was going through the appeal process, etc. But, you know, not good for him.
Yeah, and a lot of people now are on the Steelers for taking chances, quote-unquote chances, on these type players.
Such nonsense.
But the fact of the matter is this is a practice squad player making, what, $6,000 or so a week, you know, had the history behind him. I guess it becomes one of those things where you say, what do you have to lose? And especially when you have his older brother on the Steelers that every family's different, you know, how much influence.
But David, I'll add to that and say, you know, Ed Bouchette, who I've got I consider a good friend and, you know, got a lot of respect for, said, you know, another black eye for the Steelers, another suspension. Look, I mean, I'm done saying anything where a guy smokes weed. Look, the rule is the rule, and I'm not giving the players any breaks. But literally, do you want guys, team management to go home with every player every day? I mean, this guy made a decision. He knew the consequences of his actions. It's a dumb decision. It doesn't impact the Steelers at all. It's not a black eye on the franchise about how the organization operates. These are men; they know the drill. If you go out and do something stupid tomorrow, are your parents responsible for that? If they live in a different city, or live in a different town than they do, no, it's your responsibility. It's not the Steelers' responsibility that Carlos Williams didn't smoke pot. He knows the rules. He's already cost himself once. He cost himself a second time.
And that'll
be the same if it's the Bengals or the Browns or anybody else. It's not, you know, it's not a culture. Mike Tomlin's a player's coach, so these guys smoke pot.
And this is a guy that has some talent, so, you know, maybe this was lingering around out there as well, you know, why it took so long, not only for him to find a home on a practice squad, but on top of that, why another team, a running back star team, you know, you take the Packers, for instance, you know, all the injuries that they had suffered there for a while. I think we're starting to get a clearer sense of how Carlos Williams is looked at around the league, you know, with this problem and why he was available and why he was sitting there on the Steelers practice squad for so long. 10 games certainly is a long time now, and this puts him into 2017. You know, you would think that he's going to be unemployed. He'll, of course, close out the season, I'm assuming, on the commissioner's list, on the suspended list. And there, you'll have to see, you know, whether or not he's added back, you know, to the roster early next season or not. But, you know, if he's allowed to come to training camp and all that stuff, should he be re-signed? You know, and everything that goes along with that. But, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I know a lot of people, a lot of listeners, a lot of readers on Steelers Depot were hoping, hey, this is a guy that, you know, with D'Angelo Williams getting up there in age, maybe this is a guy that can be, you know, kind of the thunder to Le'Veon Bell's lightning, if you will. But now, you know, that's in question right now. I don't think you can rely on Carlos Williams at this point. If you're able to get him in training camp or you'll start the regular season next year with him on your practice squad, so be it. But much like Martavis Bryant, right now, all expectations have to be off the table.
Right, and they signed this kid who was at Texas. Is Demaryius Smith?
No, Dremus Smith. He was at West Virginia. He was a undrafted free agent in 2015 that entered the league with the San Diego Chargers. Didn't make their 53-man roster in 2015. Stuck with their practice squad. You know, off and on their practice squad for most of the 2015 season. I think he got promoted to their 53-man roster late last season. He was back with them again during training camp and all, suffered some sort of an Achilles injury that ultimately led to him being placed on IR and then waived with an injury settlement. So this is a kid, you know, that the Steelers brought in. You know, I was kind of curious at the time. You know, I thought I looked at it more as the Steelers just making sure, you know, to keep the Rolodex filled with names, you know, that they worked him out early last week. And, you know, it was a little, you know, it turned out to be, well, why did that happen? And now we know why, because it was like the next day or the day after that Carlos Williams, it was announced that he was suspended for 10 games. So now they have a guy like, what, Brandon Brown Dukes and Dremius Smith, you know, two running backs on their practice squad. And maybe that's a hint that D'Angelo Williams isn't going to be back this week either. You know, that's probably a good sign with two running backs on your practice squad.
Yeah, again, we'll see. The Steelers practice today. We won't get an injury report until Wednesday, but maybe we'll get a sense of from the beat writers who participated. It's an early practice, so maybe we'll even have this before we finish up. But, yeah, you know, it's Darius Heyward-Bey and D'Angelo Smith and Shamarco Thomas are the three injured guys, and we'll see what happens with Foster and Sammy Coates and Javon Hargrave. So that's kind of your list of guys that we're looking at this week. And again, you know, look, they've lost some guys for the season, so I don't want to say they're healthy. When you put Wheaton and Cam Heyward on the injured reserve, obviously they're done. But it feels like the Steelers got through these couple games, the back-to-back games with Cleveland and Indy, without any serious injuries. We'll hear, you know, again, Foster and Hargrave, we don't have much of a sense. But getting closer to healthy, and yeah, I'm with you on – you know, Coates played 10 snaps, so that should be, you know, that at least is trending in the right direction. It'd just be nice to see, you know, did run the one out to the sticks that they didn't convert to him. It'd just be nice to see here in this long week if he can have a good week of practice, be involved and run some other routes so that he can be, you know, more involved. I think one of your guys, I think Matthew, maybe put up the stat that he still leads the NFL in 40-plus yard catches, and he's caught one ball for 4 yards since week five. So somebody you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, you would like to get him on track. And, boy, I would like to get Le'Veon Bell any type of explosive plays as well, too. It's amazing the numbers that he's put up this year without having – You know the explosive plays on top of it, so definitely something to look forward to moving forward here. I just don't think you can continue, even though it's probably going to happen. It'd be nice that you don't have to have 70% of your offense, 80% of your offense running through two players. You know, it would be nice if you had another guy or two. And you know, maybe we're starting to see that maybe with Ladarius Green. Take a little bit of pressure off guys like Antonio Brown, because I just don't think you can rely on him catching, you know, 7-8 balls for 140 yards and 3 touchdowns week in, week out. You got to have somebody else step up. And look, I mean, this offense, you know, they're protecting Ben Roethlisberger right now. You know, he's not going down. He seems to be healthy and back on track. He's got 3 of these final 5 games at home where Ben normally plays well. You know, this offense, you know, if they could find this 30-point rhythm each and every week moving forward here, they're going to have a chance. You know, you score, the goal is to score the most points, and right now there's not a lot of teams that are hitting the 30 number every week here. So,
well, and if you know, just to hit on that one more time, as you pointed out, you know, you look at the Oakland game yesterday, and if the Steelers were to get Oakland in the divisional playoffs, as much as I love Khalil Mack, and if you listen to the game, he was ready to be into the Hall of Fame. But Carolina scored 25 straight second half points, and they get torched. And Oakland's defense has been an issue all season long. There are not any unflawed teams in this group, including the Patriots. So, again, you got to have a good day. You're probably going to have a good day on the road if you can get to that point. But you got, again, and I emphasize this because I do think it's one of the best things Mike Tomlin says every year in week 1 or week 4 or whenever it is. He said, this is not our finished product. We practice every week to get better. And I think we've seen some signs of that from the defense. We'll see if we can have continuing signs of that from the offense. They're going to have to find another receiver, another wide receiver, I think, to make this thing hum perfectly. But better play from the O-line and Ben good on the road again, which I think is the most important takeaway, as you mentioned, from the game on Thursday.
But,
okay, so anything else from the game? Or, you know, we mentioned Vince Williams at the end of the game, kind of silliness. Carlos Williams gone. We'll find out the injury report for Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about what happened on the weekend. One is, how about the play at the end of you mentioned the Ravens-Bengals game. The end of the game where 12 seconds left, they're going to punt, but they're really going to take a safety, and they say just hold everybody as long as you can because the game will end once he steps out of the end zone. Good use of the rules, questionable rule.
Well, here's what I wrote this morning. It's a genius strategy as well as a very legal one that John Harbaugh and company applied, and it's not the first time that we've seen this do it. If you go back to the Super Bowl a few years against the 49ers, with
San Francisco.
San Francisco 49ers at the end of that game. Here's the thing. It's legal. It's genius. If I'm a head coach and a special teams coordinator, I'm calling for the same things. Now, does that make it?
It's a little ironic for the guy who complained about the Patriots using the rule book to, you know, be pulling the rule book
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you only complain when it doesn't go in your favor, right? Look, I have no, you know, taking my blinders off and looking at this just as an outsider, as a fan, what have you. They did nothing wrong. Okay, but the question now becomes these, and I really like.
For those who don't know what they did, they just held on the last play. They threw a flag. The punter stepped out of the end zone. Koch did. The safety's called, but the game ends because it can end on an offensive penalty.
Right.
It's not like the Oklahoma State game where they screwed up and they said it couldn't end. The game could end. He knew it could end. So the game just ended.
Right.
So they were able to burn off 12 seconds on a play that might not have taken 12 seconds
right.
otherwise.
And then all comes the new buzz term that I think we'll be hearing, the palpably unfair act. Okay, so the question, I mean, a game can't end on a defensive penalty, okay? And you know, you would think that in most cases that it shouldn't end on an offensive penalty. But I think the competition committee, if they haven't already looked at it several years ago, does this have to be looked at? Okay, where the the integrity of the game. Wouldn't it have been fun? I mean, even though it would have, very unlikely to happen, wouldn't it have been fun to at least watch the Ravens have to try to punt that? Or would they have handled that final series a little bit differently? I understand the rule. I applaud the Ravens for doing what they did. But the fact of the matter is, it's a... the Bengals didn't stand a chance there, at the end, and you have to wonder how do most fans view that final play?
Well, for me, it's they did what was in the rule book within the rule book, and the competition committee have to relook at the rules because, you know, every once in a while somebody exploits a rule that's been there for 70 years and figures out how to take advantage of it. Good for them. And then, you know, you tighten the rule a little bit.
Right. Now, the thing is determining palpably unfair acts is that's a beauty of it.
Well, I don't think – you can't write in a rule that is a judgment. He held him a lot versus he held him a little. So, if they can't find a way to codify it, then it won't change. And if it's an offense, a game should be able to end on an offensive penalty. Absolutely, because then the offense, if you didn't score on the play that you want to
just
play,
hold.
If you saw your guy, you just commit a clipping call or something.
Right. So, there's a very, very, very fine line, that you have to walk here. And look, maybe they already addressed this a few years ago. So maybe there's nothing. Maybe it's just a hole in the rule book that needs to stay there. Look, would I be screaming for the Steelers to do it had they had the opportunity? Would Mike Tomlin have done this? Maybe that's a better question, right? You would think Danny Smith and Mike Tomlin would have been screaming for their guys to do the same thing in a similar situation there. We know Harbaugh has done it in the past as well but it's just one of those things. It'll be interesting to see if the competition committee takes a look at this during the offseason.
Yep. What'd you think of it? So for those who didn't stay up in overtime with about a minute to go, Denver had a fourth down. Minutes ago in overtime, so the game's going to be decided on the next score either way. Each team had already kicked a field goal. The question is, do you let Brandon McManus at altitude try a 62-yarder? I don't know what math-wise what the right call was, yes or no. I would have kicked it. They kicked it. They didn't make it, and it ended up more or less costing them the game, although I will say their defense cost them this game because they allowed a drive and a two-point conversion in the last 2 minutes, and then they gave up this. Did you love or hate or neutral about the decision to kick it, Dave?
Well, depending on where the game was being played at, in the high altitude, and being as how we've seen, what was his long coming?
I think he kicked him that far. I mean, I know he said in warmups he was hitting him from 60 either direction.
Yeah. So, look, you play to win the game, right? And if you punt there. If you punt in that situation, probably the best thing that you're going to do, barring, of course, turnovers could happen, but you're probably looking at a tie or a loss are your two choices there. So, I guess why not send him out there to see if he can make it? And, heck, you have one of the best defenses in the league. You would expect them to come crunch time to get a stop regardless of what happens. So, yeah, overall, now if you're talking about a 70-yarder or something crazy, but I mean, yeah, I don't have an issue with him sending the kicker out there to try to make that.
Hey, Steelers fans, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxian from First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out our listeners. You can call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Other takeaways from games around the league, Dave?
Boy, the Dolphins were without three of their offensive line starters, and man, you know, sure they were just playing the 49ers, but you know they pulled out a key victory there. You know, say what you will about the Patriots, but they found a way to win that game against against the Jets as well too. Who is the team? I mean, everybody, if you polled a lot of fans, I'm sure everybody's going to point out the Patriots, but. Are the Patriots really, I mean, where would you rank this Patriots team as far as past Patriots teams? I mean, their defense is suspect, right? I mean, and their offense, Gronkowski kind of banged up, or not kind of, I mean, he is banged up right now. Who's the team? Is there a team that you would walk into a sports book right now and put all your money on to win it all this year?
Patriots. I mean, they're as good a bet as any. If I'm picking a team, if I got to put it down on somebody, look, they've been there, they've done it. It's hard to bet against them. Let me ask you a different question.
I'm not talking.
No, I don't think they're. I don't think they're that good. But if I have to bet an AFC team, I'm betting the Patriots.
Right.
Wait, is David Carr the league MVP right now, or is it Dak, or is it Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, it's going to be – it's one of those guys. I mean, I guess Brady's on the fringes of the discussion, but I'm sure David Carr, particularly after yesterday with the kind of comeback with the broken pinky and lead your team to victory, I'm sure he is probably most people's front runner ahead of the two Cowboys, maybe because there are two of them and not one.
Yeah, there's good. There is a statistical argument floating around out there, I think, on Football Outsiders that why maybe Carr is a little bit overrated this year. But, I mean, make no mistake, crunch time at the end of games, and it seems like Oakland's every week is in one of those games, right, where they, where they need a late score. And he left that game with that pinky injury and came back and still put up, even though he had to do it out of shotgun, he put up some impressive numbers there after returning from that injury. What Dak's doing, though, in Dallas is pretty spectacular as well, too, right? I mean,
I was going to make the argument, if Washington had come back and won that game, Kirk Cousins is going to be in the conversation. They didn't, but he's been great the past couple weeks. You look at the teams with the best record, Russell Wilson's probably not in that conversation. There's not going to be anybody.
About Matt Ryan? What about what Matt Ryan has done?
They got a couple of interesting games coming up. That team, Matt Ryan's probably on the fringes of the discussion too. He's probably the non-Dallas player in the NFC. That's in the conversation. I don't think there's a receiver who's in the conversation. I don't think Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or anybody is in it. I don't know that there's a running back other than Ezekiel Elliott who's in the conversation. So you're primarily looking at quarterbacks, and we'll see how these last 5 weeks go. How about a couple kind of dark horse teams here, Dave, that are growing on me big time. The Titans have their bye week this week, so that stat is slightly misleading. But they have the most touchdowns in the AFC, and Marcus Mariota has been really good the last couple of weeks. And then the guy who got picked ahead of him, Tampa Bay, just beat Atlanta and Seattle. And if you're in the NFC, that's two of the three best teams. You just beat them. So all of a sudden, is Tampa Bay a factor down the stretch? I actually think the NFC South race is shaping up to be pretty interesting because Atlanta's still got some tough games left. And I'm beginning to think, we talk about how Philip Rivers is underrated. How underrated is Drew Brees? I mean, I don't want to say, if Drew Brees were 6'4", because who knows what happens if Drew Brees were 6'4", but Drew Brees is so damn good. He torched, and I did see some of this game. He absolutely torched that Rams defense. I mean, what he does week in and week out is amazing.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, almost like Roethlisberger, he's one of the best quarterbacks, but some people will continually try to shove him out of the – well, he's not one that's generally mentioned in the top three, right?
I think he has been. I think for a long, long time, it was Manning, Brady, and Brees, and then Rodgers got in there, and I think Ben's in there now, but – I mean, there's no question he's one of the five best in the game. And I think Rivers is right there, too. And so now it's, you know, I'm not putting any of the other guys in it. I'm not putting a Ryan or Prescott or Wilson in there or Newton in there yet. But I think it's, you know, Brady, Ben, Rodgers, Breeze, and probably Rivers. It is going to be very interesting to look. And, you know, nobody ever puts Eli in there, and I wouldn't certainly put him in there close. But it's going to be interesting to look back on the careers of Breeze, Ben, Eli, and Rivers, and kind of rank their careers when they're all done. Because obviously Rivers doesn't have a Super Bowl. Ben and Eli have two. I think probably resume-wise, just in terms of that respect, you know, Ben's probably first. If you look at statistics, Breeze is clearly first. You know, he hasn't had a defense. It's, you know, where's the argument that, you know, Sean Payton's wasting the prime of Drew Brees? I just watching him play this weekend was fun. They're awesome. Their offense is awesome, and they keep finding receivers, man. These other teams, yeah. New England found this kid Mitchell. New Orleans has this kid that I'd never heard of until this week, who made some big plays. Brandon Cooks didn't even get a target in that game, and they scored 49 points.
Yeah, they definitely have developed some receiving targets over there, much like the Steelers, you know, have been known to do over the years as well, too. Look, you talk about the South, the AFC South. Houston has a problem, right? I mean, I'm just not an Osweiler fan. I'm just not an Osweiler.
Hard to be a fan. And for what he's done.
And even though Tennessee and Indianapolis are currently, you know, behind Houston, I will not be surprised at all if either Tennessee or Indianapolis takes over Houston. And what happens if there is a collapse? What happens if Houston doesn't win the division this year and doesn't make it to the playoffs?
Well, I asked the question. Look, Osweiler's on a 2-year deal. You're going to pay him $37 million. So it's nothing you can do about that. But I was saying, you know, we talk about landing places for Tony Romo. What's Romo going to get?
Do you give Bob one more year after this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not firing Bill O'Brien, I don't think. I mean, it depends. It depends how much you feel like he orchestrated the Osweiler deal. But I don't think I'm firing him.
Yeah, he'll probably get one more year on top of this.
I don't think he hasn't been a disaster. I mean, they made the playoffs last year.
I'm just not a fan of his as an NFL coach. We'll see, and I'm definitely not a fan. I would not be surprised at all if either Indianapolis or Tennessee overtake them, and you know, Houston's on the outside looking in.
How about the end of that Chicago Tennessee game?
I saw the last little bit of that poor Chicago kid, right?
Two of them, but I mean, the one kid, you know, he jumps up on a ball that's going to hit him in the chest, and he drops.
Yep. Against a Bears team Barkley at quarterback there. You look at Tennessee and their defense this year. They're kind of right in the middle of the pack as far as adjusted net yards per passing attempt. You know, we talked about the Steelers have a 6.5 number entering this week. The Titans have a 6.4 number, so only slightly better now. They have how many sacks do they have? They have 30 sacks on the season, whereas the Steelers have 24. So, you know, a lot of comparisons there. You know, I obviously would like the Steelers' offense more than I would like Tennessee, but Tennessee has proven that kind of smash mouth can still work. And boy, when you get into the winter months, it's nice to be able to run the football in certain situations, right?
They got two backs that look. They've become a very, very fun team to watch offensively. Mariota's throwing the ball around. He's had three games without an interception. They're able to run the ball with Henry and Murray. They in San Diego and New Orleans. You want to guarantee see points just about every week. Those who would have believed it with Tennessee, but those three teams are pretty fun to watch these days.
All right, what questions are you asking Mike Tomlin, David, on Tuesday? You going to ask him about not going for two there after that first touchdown?
No, because I don't know that he's going to say anything different than what he says. It's, you know, gut instinct feel of the game. I mean, I imagine somebody will. we'll talk about Vince Williams in coverage and Timmons in coverage and how he's using guys. They play dime and they're not playing dime anymore. And, Vince Williams is not seeing the field at all. You've got Golden who played some dime. What do you see in Lawrence Timmons that you want to keep him on the field in passing situations? Ask him some more about Sammy Coates and his ability to run, the route tree capabilities that he has. Ask him about the end of the first half, about your point. Were you definitely going to call timeout on fourth down, or did they show you a look that you weren't prepared for in using that timeout? I thought that was a great point by you on Friday. So a couple things like that. I'll see if I can come up with some more interesting ones.
Yeah, most definitely. What do you think the reason is behind the fact that Le'Veon Bell doesn't have, hardly any explosive runs this year? You think it's – a lot of people want to put it on his running style and his
– Well, I did – one of our listeners wrote in, and I thought that was a new thing that I hadn't heard, that said, because of his patience at the line of the scrimmage, does that allow the defensive backs to, get into position to make a play further down the field? That's possible. I just think it's more, small sample size and circumstance than anything. He's been close to busting things. He had a play for 19 or 20 yards in the game that was called back by penalty on Thursday night. So, it wouldn't surprise me if he ripped off 230 yarders in this game. I think it's circumstance more than anything. But I do like that idea. I think the people presenting that idea, it's not the only way he runs, but when you're picking holes there, it means your wide receivers and tight ends might have to hold blocks longer than they would otherwise, and that's just maybe that second makes the difference between getting past a guy at 6 yards and not getting past a guy at 6 yards.
All right, the Giants are coming up. We'll start previewing that a little bit more as the week goes on. I'm sure we're going to have a beat writer on Wednesday to help talk about that game as well, too. What scares you the most about this team, their receiving core?
Yeah, just, we'll see if Odell Beckham, if Cockrell or Artie Burns is assigned to Beckham and follows him around the field, or if they, if they bracket him the whole game, because they do have other guys. But I think that will be the topic of conversation, and we'll see, we'll see how the injury report comes out. But, hopefully a good couple of days of practice, they get more guys healthy, and we see the explosive Steeler offense coming up this weekend. It should be a fun one. This will be a big nationally televised game with the Giants doing as well as they're doing. So it will get plenty of media coverage.
All right, anything else that we forget to cover on this show?
No, let's wrap this one up, and we'll get to Wednesday.
All right, give our buddy Craig one final shout-out here.
Yeah, of course. And if the mortgage process is something that can be sometimes more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger, let Craig guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even outside of New York City in Jersey. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, call Craig Oxane. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. You can call him today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And also check out the app on iTunes if you want to download the show, if you're not going to Dave's website, if you want to review it for us here in the holiday season. Obviously, we do this for free. We like having Craig as an advertiser, but we're open to donations as well, as Dave's got some equipment stuff that he's got to fund all the time, as do I. And certainly we appreciate your thoughts during the holiday season.
All right, Diane. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast at gmail.com. As David said, if you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button up in the upper right-hand portion of the site. And we'll be back, or I will be back, flapping my gums with David on Wednesday as well, too.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.